Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Good? Good to hear. Okay. Announcements. We have, if you look at the top of that list here, we've got the Calvary Sisterhood, and they're going to meet this Saturday, September 9th at 9 a.m. at Kyla Pesenecker's home. Am I pronouncing that right? Okay, good. And then if you're interested in that, you can get in contact. Lori Toth, her information is on the back. You've got an email as well as a phone number. And keep her in your prayers as she's recovering from surgery right now. We've also got the Calvary Brotherhood, and it will meet on the second Saturday, so this Saturday, September 9th, due to the Labor Day weekend. And then the study is titled Land of the Free, and Rick is going to be leading that. So, birthdays coming up on the 7th, we've got Todd Rhodes, and then the day following that, on the 8th, we've got Lou Toth and Marilyn Foreman. And I believe that is it for announcements. Okay, let's go ahead here and say a quick prayer, and we'll start singing. Dear God, we come to you in prayer. We pray. We thank you for bringing us here for this another Sunday. We thank you for nice weather. We just pray that you keep us safe here this Labor Day weekend as people are traveling and coming and going. But most importantly, God, we just pray that your spirit would be extra active across America all this morning as your gospel message goes out. We just pray that the messages would lead us to knowing you better and more deeply, and that would translate to us living a life that glorifies and honors you. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
You're invited to stand. Serve the Lord with gladness in our words and ways. Through praise belongs.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning, this opportunity to gather in your house, in your name, and hear your service and your word for us this morning, Father. We ask that you bless this service, bless our continued worship, bless our church, our community, our nation, and Father, may your guiding hand prevail in all of these things. We ask that you bless the offering and those who give today, those that are with us and those that can't be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus.
Thank you. Praise team. If you have your Bible, I'm going to start reading in Psalms 95:2. I think maybe, are we having that up there this morning, Garrett? Psalms 95:2? Okay. So that's what we're going to look at first. But notice on the back of your bulletin, there's a long list of prayer requests there. And so I'd try to instruct yourself to look at that. Lori, we saw Lori yesterday, and I think generally she was doing pretty good, and Lou as well. And so there are others there. Brother Tom, good to see him this morning. Need to continue to remember him. Kyle back there as well. Brother Bob was in the hospital again last week. He likes to go over to Lutheran every couple of days. Isn't that right, Bob? No, of course not. But anyways, good to have him back. They got to drain him out, and he gets back his strength. Notice also there that Charlotte Sturger, who used to be right over here in Chapman Place, they moved her up to Michigan. And I think we have the address to that, don't we? So we'll try to get that in the bulletin for you. Wouldn't hurt to send her a little note or something like that. Now, that she's up there because her daughter lives up that way somewhere. And then there's Rick here on there. Notice also I told Tom I tried to visit his dad last week and went to the wrong place. But anyway, we want to remember Tom's dad, Dave, on there. And of course, there's teachers and leaders and outreach and all those kind of things, our nation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you rejoicing this morning that we're able to get up out of bed, to get up, brush our teeth, comb our hair, take a shower, whatever it might be, and come here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know that we live in a day and an age when there's many, many things going on all around us that we can see with our spiritual eyes that these things are not good. They're detrimental. And so we want to be people of prayer. We want to be people, 2 Chronicles 7:14 people, that we will humble ourselves and we might come before you, lifting up our leaders. We want to pray for our president, President Biden, Lord, that you might touch his heart, that you might somehow or another get a hold of his life. And Lord, Congress and the Senate, all these folks that have the power and administrative power over us, Lord, many of these folks really need an awakening in their heart that Christ Jesus is Lord, and that their job and their particular capacity, whether it be a senator or congressman or even the president or whatever it might be, all these things come under your purview and that they might look towards you. Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity we have to meet each and every Sunday, the Lord's Day, Resurrection Day. We're here because we're a resurrection people, and we're looking forward to the Lord Jesus coming back again in power and in glory. Be with us now as we look at your word. Speak to our hearts. Minister to everyone here. Everybody here has different needs. Touch those needs, Lord, and help us that when we get ready to adjourn this morning, we'll be so glad in our hearts we could say truthfully, it was so glad to be in your house with your people today and magnifying Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray, amen. I want to start out with Psalms 95:2. The psalmist says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And so those are some admonitions. And Psalms 126 has this admonition. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Are you glad the Lord has done great things in your life? I hope so. I pray that that be the case. And then again, the psalmist says in Psalms 34:3, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name, what? Together. Together. Well, it is Labor Day, and it's going to be a holiday tomorrow, and we celebrate Labor Day this week, and that will mean for some that tomorrow they'll be off from work. That will mean for many that it will be a time for a picnic or a barbecue or something like that. Nothing wrong with those things, but nevertheless, we ought to also give thanks to the Lord for the ability to do those things and the privilege to do those kind of things. You know, a holiday is really a contraction. What is the contraction? Holy days. It's a holy day. And there are holy days in the Bible. We think about the Sabbath day of 10 commandments number 4. We meet on the first day of the week because we're a New Testament church, because we have experienced and understand that Jesus is Lord over life and death, and he rose again the third day. And so we are here today on that Lord's Day to meet and to celebrate. But in the Old Testament, there are 7 feasts, and I always think that these are instructive for us, and we don't pay much attention to them, I think, because sometimes these things get a little bit complicated. But these 7 feasts, they instruct Israel, they instruct us in festivals to be thankful. A festival is really an appointed time. It's a week, generally speaking, ordained by God Almighty to honor his name. These times of celebration are important not only to Israel, but to overall message of the scripture, because each of these festivals are not festivals in and of themselves in the Old Testament. Each of these festivals are a foreshadowing symbolically as respect to the Lord Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, the triumph of the Lord. So all these things should be teaching us things even today. We understand that as born-again believers, we're New Testament believers, we're no longer under any obligation to observe any of the Old Testament feasts, but we need to, however, understand their significance. And if we understand their significance, then we'll understand how that applies to us and how they're important to us. So I'm going to list these feasts real quickly for you. First, there's 7 feasts, basically. First, there's a Passover. And I think most of us want to understand the Passover. That's when God dealt with Egypt to let his people go. And the Israelites were instructed to paint on the doorposts and the lintels. They'd take a lamb, slay the lamb, put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, and get ready to leave Egypt. Some people say, and I think that this is just my idea, I think to myself, Israel was instructed to do that. And if the blood was on the doorposts and the lintels, the death angel passed over. I think anybody that obeyed the Lord and put that blood on the doorposts and the lintels, the death angel passed over. So Passover, and then there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then there's the Feast of First Fruits, then there's the Feast of Weeks, and we'll look at these in just a second, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. So first of all, let's look at the Passover. We should be reminded, of course, as New Testament Christians, that the Passover has to do with redemption. It's Israel's physical deliverance from bondage in Egypt. Just as the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels caused the Spirit of God, the death angel, to pass over those homes, this blood also is a sign of what God would do for us in Christ. So all those who recognize the death, burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved by grace. We weren't even there. We weren't witness to any of those kind of things physically. But we are admonished, have the testimony of the scripture, record of history in the sense of what we as born-again believers have been doing for hundreds of years, celebrating the grace of God that freed believers, freed those who placed their faith and trust in Christ from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin, Paul says, is what? Death. Wow. You know, we know what wages are. Those are what you get paid. So if you're working for the wages of sin, you're going to get paid. You just don't want that payment. You just don't want it. So anyway, we're saved by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is connected with that. During this time, Israel ate no bread with yeast to cause them to remember their haste and preparation to leave Egypt on the Exodus. Leaven in the scripture, there's only one time, most people would say, There's no time in the scripture that leaven is a good thing. But there is one time. But nevertheless, leaven was that agent which made the bread rise. And so they were reminded that they had to leave in haste. They didn't even have time for the bread to rise. Christ is our Passover lamb. He cleanses us from the penalty of sin. Then there's a feast of first fruits. Paul makes this connection for us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Jesus calls these the first fruits, calls us the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. If the first fruit is good, the whole harvest is good. Did you know that? Right now, we have our crops in the field. The corn's there. The beans are there and those kind of things. And my friend down there in Huntington, a farmer down there in Huntington, he will take his combine here pretty soon, and he'll make a pass around the field. And when he does that, he'll take and gauge the harvest that fell into that hopper. And if that's good, then he can say to himself with confidence, this harvest is going to be good. If it's bad, it's going to be bad. And so the first fruits, if they're good, then it's going to be a good harvest. Paul makes that connection for us, talking about the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If the first fruits are good, then the harvest will be good. We need to pray that the harvest will be good. And the fourth thing is the Feast of Weeks. That's the Pentecost. This happens 50 days after the first fruit. And so when you count 50 days, oh, matter of fact, what does Pentecost mean? 50. It's just strikingly simple, isn't it? Pentecost, 50. 50 days after, this makes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, 50 days afterwards, this great blessing to seal and to fortify and to make plain what God did in Christ Jesus. His death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, all were acceptable unto God. That was the first fruits, and then the pouring out of the Spirit of God on Pentecost on all believers. And remember, you go back to the book of Acts and read those different people were in Jerusalem from all kinds of places. Read some of those names in some of those places. Yet when the Spirit of God was poured out upon them, they heard or understood what was taking place in their own language. They understood it in their minds and hearts, and it was a blessing to everyone. Listen, when God does something in Christ and we receive that by faith, it doesn't make any difference whether we're black or white or green or whatever it is. If we will accept those things by the grace of God, we're going to get blessed. God's not stingy. He wants to bless you. He wants everybody to come unto salvation. Everybody. That's one of the reasons why we have what we call worldwide outreach. We want to see every nation, every tongue, every person on the face of this blue, sparkling, wet earth to hear about Jesus. Most important thing that they'll ever hear in their whole life. So the Feast of Trumpets is next. It's an agricultural thing, of course, and comes at the closing. Paul tells us this feast was Jesus, and talking about his second coming over 1 Thessalonians 4:6, he says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You see, God's not done yet, but he's got a done yet time coming. There's going to be this great, great gathering, ingathering. And it's going to be this wonderful and marvelous thing. Then the sixth one is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was a day that the high priest went literally into the Holy of Holies. Matter of fact, as you, I'm sure, recognize and realize, they could only go in once a year on this Day of Atonement. The high priest could only do that once a year. There was a curtain that separated the outer temple, the inner temple, the Holy of Holies. And the high priest, and only the high priest could go in. Now, I always thought this was very interesting. I don't know if you've read this or not, but I found this out some years ago. The high priest, they tied a rope on him. Did you know that? When he went into the Holy of Holies, if he died or something happened in there, guess what? You couldn't go in till the next year. But if you had him roped up, Caleb, you could pull him out. Get that old dead body out of there, you know. So anyway, the high priest would go in once a year and make that sin offering. The place that he did that was the hysterion of the altar. The writer of Hebrews tells us that that hysterion of the altar is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? It all fits together. Now, it's complicated, I'm sure, to some of us. Some of these words and some of these things are different, and we're not familiar with all those kind of things, and I don't pretend to not, like I know of all that kind of thing. But you can study it, you can read it. It's very, very, and it fits together. Paul looks forward to the day over in Romans 11 when all Israel will be saved, because the Gentiles are coming in, and all that's wonderful, but some of the Israelites were stubborn. You know, I think that maybe you go back, and of course, don't change your Bible or anything like that, but every time you read Israelite, put Baptist in there. You don't think so, Caleb? Yes, we're hard-hearted people. We're stubborn. We're just like, I don't care what God is doing. I'm going to do it my way. Baptist way is the right way. There's no Baptist way. We're supposed to be people of the book, aren't we? We're people of the book way. They call us Baptists because that wasn't a compliment. That was a derogatory thing. Yeah. So anyway, Paul says, we come together and we enjoy these things because of who Christ is, and God's blessings passed is poured out, passed out, overwhelming the believer. And Paul looks for the day when not only will there be this Pentecostal baptism by the Holy Spirit of God that included people from all tongues and all nations and all those kind of things, but there were some in Israel who were hard-hearted and stubborn and were not being repentant. He was looking forward to a day then they too would come to know the truth about Jesus. I always think it's interesting to read Jewish commentaries and things like that, because they do have sometimes insights into things, and they will say something sometimes in a commentary, a Talmud or something of that nature, about this particular section of the Scripture, and everything about that particular section of Scripture speaks of Jesus. Everything. And when they get done reading it and exegeting it and all those kind of things, they won't reach that conclusion. You know why? They're blinded. But there's a day coming, Paul says, when that's going to be lifted and they're going to see, and his people, Israel, will be saved. Then the seventh feast is the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And this was the final feast of the season. And this was when Christ would come and rule the earth in power. People from every tribe, it says, every tongue, every nation, will come and tabernacle, dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem. There indeed is much to be celebrated, isn't there? It's coming. It's coming. True freedom, though, is not given by a country. We talk about the United States of America and the great freedoms that we have and all those kind of things. And all that's true if it rests upon the fact that as a nation, we recognized who God was. As a nation, we wanted to practice the principles that were scriptural principles. As a nation, we were encouraged to do those kind of things. As a nation, George Washington prayed. As a nation, Thomas Jefferson gave us various instructive things. As a nation, God worked. And here we are today. There's coming a time when God is going to pour out his Spirit again, and it's going to be a great revival. There needs to be much celebration. True freedom is not given by the country. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. But in all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Paul says, you know, we're looking in a mirror, and we don't quite see all plainly, but there's coming a day when everything will be made open and everyone can see. The same image, glory to glory. God has given us an incredible gift in Christ Jesus. That's all there is to it. We should celebrate it every day. We should celebrate it most assuredly on Resurrection Day. We should celebrate it every holy day, every holiday, because it's a holy day, and recognizing what God has done for us and given us all these great gifts. God has given us incredible gifts, and we need to celebrate those things. We live in what was once the greatest and enjoyed the greatest freedoms of any people in the world, I believe with all my heart. So let us once more celebrate what God has done, but looking forward into what God will do in home, in church. Wouldn't it be nice if every church in this city, every church in the United States, every church in this world would lift up Christ, everyone proclaiming the same gospel, not with a little, oh, wait a second, can't do that. No, just the gospel. Wouldn't it be great for that? What a powerful witness that would be. It's powerful even when it's broken up and it's wounded. It's incomplete. What if it was complete? You know, Caleb gets this book. It's called The Martyrs. And I read it every time. It's not a book, it's a little magazine. I read it every time because it's amazing what God's doing around the world. God is doing something fantastic in China. Did you know that? Yeah. And the Chinese communists can't do a thing about it. Isn't that amazing? They just can't do it. They try it, but they can't do a thing about it. These people get together. They worship. The Spirit of God is moving upon people's hearts. And literally, thousands and thousands of Chinese are making professions of faith in Christ every day. Oh, we might see a little bit of that in America, huh? But God's working there. We may be next on the list. I don't know. But hopefully, we might see that soon. I think, Lord, teach us to offer unto you a whole heart of thanksgiving and praise. Lord, teach us to trust you and pray more specifically with joy in our hearts and in the power of the Holy Spirit to honor and to lift up the Lord Jesus, not just for us, not just for America, not just for our nation, but for our world. Some of the great missionaries that we've celebrated in the past have been touched by God, called by God, sent to places that you would have thought, boy, that's not a good place to go. It's not very fertile there. I remember reading something about some missionaries that had been called to Turkey, and you know Turkey is an Islamic nation and all those kind of things. As a matter of fact, we hear and read about it even today people who publicly proclaim Christ, people who have Bible studies and things like that, sometimes they're arrested and they're sent to jail. And it was about 2 years ago, I remember, on the news, they had these two ladies, and they were sentenced to jail and stuff like that because they were teaching Jesus, they were holding Bible studies, and they were sharing their faith and all those kind of things. And they put them in prison. What did they think they were going to do when they put them in prison? They thought, well, they'll shut up now. We got them now. We'll just put them in this little jail. Well, we'll not feed them. We'll treat them miserably and do all those kind of things, and nothing will happen. You know what happened? They let them loose. They kicked them out of the country. I think they were in Italy or someplace at that particular time. They kicked them out of the country. You know why? Because they weren't being quiet in prison. And there was a revival going on in prison. People coming to Christ in prison. So they thought, let's get these two troublemakers, let's get them out of the country. Yeah, so they kicked him out, and they interviewed him on television. I saw the interview. I don't know if you saw it or not. But anyway, it was very, very interesting. And guess what these gals were going to do? They were preparing to go back. Why? That's our people. That's our people. That's our nation. They're the people that we love. And we're going to go back. I just thought to myself, I wonder what's going to happen when they get there with their visas and those kind of things. Will they arrest them immediately when they come back? You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to stop them from coming back. Now, we send them to you guys, you keep them. You keep them. You know why I think that is the case? Because they knew if they came back, they'd almost be under obligation to put them in prison. And if they were under obligation to put them in prison, another revival would break out. Because these girls would not be quiet. Unbelievable, isn't it? How about us? How about you and me? Not being quiet all the time, but maybe letting the Lord work in our lives in a way that he could bless others through us, through the gospel. Inviting people for Sunday school, inviting people for Bible study, ladies' studies, all those kind of things. We can do that. I don't think we've had anybody arrested for that for a long time. Maybe it'd be a good thing if we got arrested occasionally. We might be toughened up a little bit. We get so caught up in what the Mennonites are doing and the Presbyterians are doing and the Catholics are doing and all those kind of things. I don't care. What I want to know is what the Lord is doing and try to get in step with him and let him use us, use me. Me a little more vocal, me a little more direct, me a little bit more conscious of the fact that I'm talking to somebody. Maybe, won't be too long, we're going to be talking to somebody about the roof. It's Brotherhood Mutual, but what is it, Mondale? Brotherhood? They have our building contracts and things like that for this. And you know, years ago, how many years was that? You had it written down. 2019, we put a new roof on because they sent some guys out here. I think we asked them to come or something like that. They sent some guys out here, and the guy that first came out here said, "Oh my goodness, this roof is terrible." And then their guy came out and he looked at the roof and he said, "No. Listen, what you need, you don't need to patch that roof. You don't need to put a few squares of shingles here." He said, "Let's do the whole thing." Yeah, let's do the whole thing. That wasn't our idea. That was their idea. I'm eager to tell that guy. Listen, we didn't want that. We didn't say anything. We just wanted a couple of drips fixed, and you did the whole roof. And I'm gonna. Rondell gave me a piece of paper with a date on there, and I'm gonna remind that guy it wasn't 20 years ago. Our roof is still under your contract that you gave with us, and we want to thank you for fixing it. But listen, if it starts leaking again, we're gonna call you again, because that's what insurance is, isn't it? I think so. And they ought to be glad that they have such a good customer as us. You know, we paid them, what, $20,000 in monthly payments or something like that, and they spent $24,000 on this roof alone. I like it that way, don't you? What's wrong with you folks? Don't you like it when you get in a fender bender and you turn it into your Allstate or your whatever, and the insurance guy comes out and says, "Oh, man, this car is junk. We want to... Here, let's write you a new check for a brand new one." And that's the way to do it, isn't it? Somebody told me years and years ago, I forget who it was, that insurance companies weren't in the business of paying out premiums to the insurers. They were in the business of collecting premiums from the insurers. But they're obligated to fix a roof if they're obligated for that. Listen, we need to recognize that God is God. We're his people. We need not to be silent. We need not to be fearful. That we need to be about doing our everydayness, but in the power of Christ, looking for his will be done in everything in every life. Is God the same God today as he was yesterday? I think so. I think so. I like to read about some of those great things we call the great revivals of the past. But you know what? It could be happening right now in our midst and we don't even recognize it. Because God doesn't, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. When we're in that will, propagating that good news of grace in Christ, then we don't have to worry about what's happening or not happening. That's God's part, and he'll do it. He'll do it. Well, we've got a holiday tomorrow. You're going to get your sandwiches out and your barbecue and whatever it is, all those kind of things. I don't know if we're going to do a barbecue or not. I have no idea. I need some fresh barbecue. Thank you. But anyway, enjoy the holy day. The holy day unto the Lord tomorrow. In everything that you do, give thanks. Father, thank you for who you are, for this great gift of salvation you so freely have given in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Father, we thank you for the everyday establishment, the breath that we breathe, the water that we drink, the coolness of the living room that we sit in, the warmth of that living room in the wintertime. All these things are blessings from you. Refrigerators that are full to overflowing. Lord, help us to be thankful. It doesn't have to be that way. But you give it to us, and we need to be thankful and praise you for it. Lord, I thank you for all those who are here today. Lord, I know there are many going to be going on different places and different things tomorrow, doing all kinds of things. I ask you to give them traveler's mercies, bring them home safely. But Lord, let them have that good time with their family as well. And Lord, if in this invitation this morning, there's that one who's sitting here today who has never publicly acknowledged Christ in their life, let this be the day that they'll say yes to your Holy Spirit and make that public. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. If you have something to make public, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I go. Wherever he leads, I go. I follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I go.
This morning, and I do pray that the Lord will bless you today and give you a good time with family and friends and all those kind of things.